Welcome to Pleasant Ridge Baptist Church's podcast. Today's message from Pastor Sean Thomas in the series The Discipline of Disciples is entitled The Discipline of Model Prayer, found on Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. Hope you enjoy our service today.
Amen. If you have your Bibles, I hope you'll open it up to the book of Matthew chapter 6 this morning. There's also an outline many of you may have seen on the chair in front of you there. You might want to take that and use it either today to take notes with, or I hope some of you might want to take that home and use it as an outline as we learn a little bit more about how to pray this morning. I was at a men's retreat, just outside of Wichita Falls, Texas, a number of months ago, last year, and had the occasion to meet with a certain man who was talking about a challenge that he received when he was a young adult. He said that somebody challenged him to do what Jesus commanded his disciples, that was to watch and pray with him for an hour. In other words, to pray for an hour. And this guy said, you know, I've never done that. I think that would be a great thing to do. And so he said he went outside and he got down on his face before the Lord, and he said he prayed for everyone and everything that he could think of. And he thought, you know, I'm pretty sure that wasn't an hour. And so he prayed for everyone and everything that he could think of again. And just for good measure, he said, I prayed for everyone and everything I could think of for a third time. He said, by this time, I felt kind of safe at looking down at my watch. He said, 5 minutes had gone by. I've heard a number of people share a testimony similar to that and say, you know, I would like to pray. I'd like to pray longer. I'd like to pray better. But I've just never really been able to do that. I hope that the message this morning will take some steps towards helping you not only to pray longer, because it's not just all about length, but how to pray better, how to pray in the way that the Lord would have us to pray and talk with Him. We're continuing our study this morning, the disciplines of disciples. We've seen that a disciple is someone not just who fills out a card or gets baptized or joins a church, but is someone who has a committed relationship to Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and who is actively following Him. We've seen over the last weeks that there are certain disciplines that we are to adopt as disciples of Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy 4 says, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. We are not just going to accidentally become good followers of Jesus Christ. You're not just going to wake up one morning and have that happen. We've got to adopt some disciplines in our lives for us to see that kind of spiritual growth in our lives. And so we've been looking individually for the past couple of weeks at some of these specific disciplines that we need to adopt into our lives to be the followers of Jesus that He wants us to be. We've seen, first of all, that we need to spend time in the pure milk of the Word of God. You need a time every day when it's just you and your open Bible and the Holy Spirit of God speaking to your heart, and you're ready to write down those things that He shows you from the pure milk of His Word. Last week we saw that we need to have a morning time in prayer. David said, in the morning, O Lord, this is Psalm 5:3. He said, in the morning, O Lord, you will hear my voice. In the morning, I will order my prayer to you, and I will eagerly watch. We talked about the importance of having a morning time in prayer that kicks off our day in the right way and will change our day because we've spent time with God in prayer. This morning we're going to be looking at here in Matthew chapter 6 at the discipline of ordered prayer, or as I'm calling it this morning, just the discipline of the model prayer that Jesus gave us here that so many of us are familiar with, and how it can teach us better how to pray, especially in that morning prayer that kicks off our day, to help us to pray longer, but help us to pray better in the way that He intended us to pray. Now, I know that many would say, well, I'm familiar with this prayer. I already know about it. But I want us to look, first of all, at the purpose of the model prayer. Why did Jesus give us this model prayer? He did not give us this prayer in order for us just to pray these same words over and over and over again in rote fashion. And in fact, in the scripture we read just a few moments ago in verse 7 of Matthew 6, Jesus says, and when you're praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do. He just commanded us, don't just pray the same things over and over and over again until they become a meaningless repetition. Now listen, I find it incredibly ironic that the very prayer that Jesus gave us, the very model that he gave us, after he said, do not use meaningless repetitions, has in fact become a meaningless repetition by many who just utter those same words over and over and over again, hundreds and thousands of times in many religious settings. He said, he did not say, pray this. There's a different set, a different Greek word that would indicate pray this. Here he said, pray in this way. As Chuck Quarles said in his great commentary on the Sermon on the Mount, that this model prayer is not a script to be recited, but a model to be emulated. It's not a script. We're not to pray this same thing to the Lord over and over, word for word. He gave us this as a model of the kinds of things that he wants us to speak with him about when we pray. Let me give you an example. When my dad was alive, we communicated very well by email. It was just a back and forth every day. We would swap emails. And when my dad would send me an email, he would open, you know, Sean, and then he would talk about the weather and how it was there at his house. Then he would talk about his garden for a little bit, and then he would talk about how it went at the OU game and what he thought the coach should have done at a certain place or whatever. And then he'd ask about the kids and how they were doing, and so on and on through his email. And so, as many of you do, after I read my dad's email, I hit reply. But I didn't just hit reply and send his same note back to him. I began typing out my response. And I'd say, well, what were the things that the dad was talking with me about in this in his emails? Oh, well, first thing, he's talking about the weather. Okay, well, that sounds like it was really hot up there. It wasn't quite as bad. And I would just talk about the weather a little bit, because that's the first thing that he had in his note. Well, then what was the next thing he had in his note? I would glance back at it. Say, what was the next thing Dad wanted to talk about? Oh, yeah, the OU game. I thought it went well, but then I'd give my comments on that. And then after I typed out about that for a little bit, I might look, what was the next thing that Dad had wanted me to talk with him about? Oh, yeah, how are the kids doing? And so I'd talk about how Cheryl and the kids were all doing. And so I would look at those different categories of things that my dad was interested in, and I would write on those things back to him. I didn't send his exact same letter back to him. Those are the things he wanted me to discuss with him when we communicated. Listen, I believe in a very real sense that's what this model prayer is. It's not a script of the exact words that we're to say back to God, as if almost like hitting my reply and sending my dad's same email back to him. There are six petitions in this model prayer. These six petitions are six categories of things that God wants us to speak with him about when we pray. They're the things that he wants us to discuss with him about when we pray. He wants us to pray about the glory of his name. He wants us to pray about the kingdom. He wants us to pray about his will. He wants us to pray about the needs that we have. He wants us to pray about forgiveness and our forgiving others. He wants us to pray for spiritual protection for ourselves and for others. That's the purpose of the model prayer. It's not to be just endlessly repeated word for word. It's a model of the categories of things that our Heavenly Father wants us to talk with him about when we pray. Now, understanding that, let's take a few moments and just go through the outline of the model prayer. You can use this note page that you have there to jot some notes if you'd like to, or you can use it to take home and then use it to help you as you pray. But let's look at these six categories of things for a few moments that God wants us to speak with him about when we pray. What are the kinds of things he wants us to discuss with him when we pray? Well, the very first request is, hallowed be thy name. Well, what's he want us to talk about there? That word hallowed is a word that means to make holy. He wants us to make his name holy in our prayers. In other words, he wants us to praise him. He's teaching us to begin our prayers with praise. Psalm 100 says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. If you study the great prayers of the Bible, every one of those great prayers begins with praise to God. For example, in Acts chapter 4, when the disciples had been beaten and then threatened to preach and teach no more in the name of Jesus, the Bible says they gathered back together and they prayed. And the first words of their prayer were not, "Oh God, we're hurt, we've been beaten up, we've been threatened." The first words of their prayer were, "O Lord, it is you who made the heaven and the earth, the sea, and all that in them is." They began their prayer by praising God. And I guarantee you they prayed a different kind of prayer beginning with praise to God than they would have prayed otherwise. God wants us to begin our prayers with praise to Him. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. But a number of people might say, "Well, that's good, and I see in Scripture that we should begin our prayers with praise, but I don't really know. How can I praise God? I don't know how to praise Him as well as I should." Now, I think many people would say that. Let me give you just three scriptural ways this morning that you can praise God as you begin your prayer. And the very first one is by using Scripture. By using Scripture, many of the Psalms are Psalms of praise to God, like Psalm 100, "Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth, serve the Lord with gladness, come before Him with joyful singing." Or Psalm 150, "Praise the Lord, praise God in His sanctuary, praise Him in His mighty expanse, praise Him for His mighty deeds, praise Him according to His excellent greatness." There's so many of these Psalms like this that are Psalms of praise. So read a Psalm of praise to God to open your prayer time. Or use another Scripture that praises God, like the disciples did there. That prayer they prayed in Acts 4, "O Lord, it is you who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that in them is." That's actually a quotation from the Ten Commandments from Exodus chapter 20, verse 11. There are all kinds of scriptures throughout the Word of God that we can use to praise God. So one way that we can praise Him is by using Scripture. A second way that we can praise Him is by singing. Singing. Do you know when you sing to God, and God is your audience, that's a prayer. That's a prayer. Now, I'm just talking when you're singing for Jim or singing for your neighbor or whatever, but when you are purposefully singing and God is your audience, that's a prayer. And God has commanded us throughout His Word to praise Him with singing. And so one of the great ways that we can praise God in our prayer is just sing to Him. So sing some of the hymns that you've learned in church. Sing some of the spiritual songs you've learned in church, like, "O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds Thy hands have made, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee." See, that's a vertical prayer. You're singing that to God. So sing some of these songs, sing some of these choruses that you've learned in church, and sing them to Him. So singing is a great way to praise God in your prayer. Thirdly, you can praise Him not only with Scripture and with singing, but also by giving thanks. Throughout the Word of God, we're commanded over and over and over again to give thanks. Give thanks. In everything, 1 Thessalonians 5 says, give thanks. And giving thanks is one of the simplest ways that we can praise God. Anybody can do that. Even a small child can do that. Our son David is here this morning with his wife Ashley and our little grandbaby Abigail. His older brother Paul and he went to their grandma's house a number of years ago when they were, 2 and 4 years old, something like that. And they got to swim in the pool and they got to eat some birthday cake and they ended up smashing some bugs out on grandma's back porch. And when they came in from that time, I was putting his brother Paul to bed. And I said, "Paul, pray a prayer before you go to sleep." And I said, "Okay." And he said, "God, I thank you that I got to go to grandma's house. And thank you for the cake. And thank you for the swimming. And thank you that we got to smash bugs on the porch tonight." And at first I thought, well, what kind of prayer is that? And then I thought, you know, it's a great prayer. Because it was just a prayer for what he was thankful for. And the smallest child can do that. We can all spend some time and just give God thanks for those things that we're grateful for. So we can have a pretty good praise time in a prayer if you opened it with a psalm or some other scripture and then sung a song or two of praise to God and then spent some time just thanking Him for the things that you're grateful for. That's what the Lord wants us to do. Begin our prayer time with praise. Hallowed be Thy name. Well, then let's glance back at the note God's given us about what He wants us to talk with Him about when we pray. What's the next thing? What's the next request? Thy kingdom come. He wants us to pray about the things of his kingdom. What does that mean? The Bible word kingdom is a Greek Bible word, basileia. It means the rule or the reign of God. His rule is spread in hearts through faith as the gospel of Jesus is preached. So at this point in our prayer, we can pray for those who preach the word of God and who teach the word of God. It's praying for pastors and staff and the kingdom work of our churches, and praying for missions and praying for missionaries, all of those who are spreading the kingdom of God through the world. There's a lot of people for whom we can pray like that. But notice something else. Notice that God has us to pray for his kingdom here before we pray for our own requests. There's a place in this prayer where we pray for our needs. Give us this day our daily bread. But it's not right here. It's later on. Notice in the structure of the prayer, it all begins with a focus on God. It's hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. It's thy, thy, thy. And then it's only then in the second half of the prayer where we see, give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts. Lead us not into temptation. But the prayer begins with a focus on God, God, God. And so here he says, pray for my kingdom things first. Pray for my requests first, for the spread of the kingdom of God, before you even get to praying for your own special needs and requests. It's just like Jesus told us later here in Matthew chapter 6, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then these other things will be added unto you. But he's saying, seek first the kingdom. Make my requests first in your prayers. Then what's the next thing the Lord wants us to visit with him about when we pray? Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. What does it mean to pray for his will to be done? These exact same words were prayed by Jesus in Matthew 26:42 in the Garden of Gethsemane. When Jesus was about to go to the cross, to that mercy tree that Keith sung about just a few moments ago, and his human flesh recoiled at the thought of the suffering that he was about to endure in the death on the cross. And so he prayed, Father, if possible, let this cup pass from me. He says, but nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. In the Greek as well as in the English, these are the exact same words that Jesus taught us to pray here in Matthew 6 in the Sermon on the Mount. We're to pray for his will to be done. Listen, when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord, he comes in as the ruler, the master, the boss of our lives. And we're to submit to his will and not our own in our lives. And this is the point in our prayers in which we pray, God, I am willing to do your will instead of my own. It means when we come to face the big decisions in our lives, who am I going to date? Who am I going to marry? Where am I going to move? What job am I going to have? We don't just try to figure out what we want and do that. We bow before God just like Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane and say, Lord, it's not my will about this job. It's not my will about this relationship. It's not my will about this direction. God, I am willing to do what you want me to do. Listen, I believe there's a very real sense in which every day on our knees before God, or however it is that we pray, we are to have, in a sense, a daily Gethsemane in which we say, God, because you are my Lord, I'm willing to do whatever it is that you want me to do. A daily Gethsemane in which we say, thy will be done. And it's not true only of those big decisions in our lives either. It's true of the little things. When we get up every day, we need to lay out our day before the Lord and say, God, as I look at this day and the things that I have to do on my job or in my home, help me to do your will. Not just the things that I'm inclined to do, but help me to seek your will, your direction, your blessing on the things of this day. Help me to do your will today. And fourthly, we find the request here that Jesus tells us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. He's talking about needs, the requests that we have. We don't pray for our requests first, as we saw a few minutes ago, but there is a place for that, and that place is right here in this fourth request. We're to bring our needs and our desires and our petitions to the Lord in prayer. But notice something about that. He doesn't say that we're to pray, "Give me this day my daily bread." It's what? Give us. Give us. He's saying, don't be selfish in your praying. Don't pray merely for yourself and for your own needs. Pray also for the needs of other people as well. I remember when I was had just graduated from seminary. Cheryl and I had our first child and had graduated from school. And we waited for over a year before I was placed in my first church. It was a very difficult time. I'll tell you some more about that some other time. But in that time, as you can imagine, I was spending a lot of time praying that God would open up just the right church and in just the right place for us. And one day, the Lord kind of nudged me in prayer as I was praying, "Lord, please open up the door. Please give me that place to serve." And He nudged me and said, "Sean, what about Craig?" Craig was a friend of mine who had actually graduated a semester before I had. He just still didn't have a church either. And here I was crying out for God to open up the right door and to give me the right place to serve. And God says, "What about Craig? What about your friend? How much are you praying for him? How much are you agonizing for him who's in basically the same situation that you're in?" And God convicted me that I was not to be selfish in my prayers, but that I needed to be praying for the needs of other people as well. And ever since that time, I've kept a list of other people for whom I ought to be praying. And that's what we can do in this fourth petition. We should pray for our requests and needs, and we can pray for those of other people who are on our hearts as well. And then fifthly, we find here in verse 12, Jesus says we're to talk with the Lord about forgiveness. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is the place in our daily prayers where we bring our sins to the Lord and ask for forgiveness, and we stay confessed up before the Lord. Not because we're going to be lost and go to hell if we don't. When you're saved in Jesus Christ, you're saved once and for all. But those daily sins put a cloud between you and your God and in your fellowship with Him. And that cloud will hinder your relationship with Him if you don't stay confessed up with Him every day. So we need that time daily, at least, of confessing our sins to the Lord. But notice the second part of this fifth request. It says, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Now, we're studying this same passage on Wednesday nights. And for those of you who have been here on Wednesday nights, I know this is a little bit of a review for you all. But I felt like it was important enough that every member of our church needs to understand this outline that Jesus gave us to pray. We're studying this in a little more depth on Wednesday nights. And in a couple of weeks, we're going to be looking specifically at this fifth request. But look just very carefully there at what it says. It says, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Listen, a lot of people are basically praying condemnation upon themselves when they pray that verse. Forgive us as we've forgiven. If there's somebody against whom you are harboring bitterness or unforgiveness, you're basically praying condemnation upon yourself if you're asking to be forgiven the way that you have not forgiven somebody else. So at this point in our prayers, we not only ask God to forgive us, but we make sure that we have forgiven everybody in our circles of influence, that there's no bitterness, there's no unforgiveness that we're harboring in our lives. And then finally, in verse 13, Jesus taught us to pray this sixth kind of request, and lead us not into temptation. Again, there's such an order in this model prayer. Having just taught us to ask for forgiveness, He then says, and lead us not into temptation. You see the connection? We just ask for forgiveness. Now He says, lead us not into temptation. Help us not to go back into these same sins. It's like the old expression, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. There are evidently sins that we can avoid by praying in advance. Jesus told His disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane, He said, watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. There are evidently sins that we can avoid by praying in advance for spiritual protection. And so we should pray for ourselves. We should pray for our husbands and wives. We should pray for our marriages. We should pray for our children and their marriages and their families. We should pray for our pastors and our staff and our church, because we know what Satan wants to do to try to ruin and destroy the fellowship of the church. We need to pray for God's spiritual protection to be over all of those whom we love and care about. That's what Jesus is teaching us to pray here. So it's not just a prayer that we're to pray these same words over and over. He's saying, pray about the glory of my name. Begin your prayer with praise. Then pray about the servants and the work of my kingdom. Then pray for my will to be done. Then ask for the needs that you and others have. Then ask for forgiveness and make sure that you are forgiving other people. And then pray for spiritual protection for yourself and those you care about. It's an outline. It's a model for the things that he wants us to talk with him about when we pray. I want us to close by looking at just some ways that we can use this prayer. First of all, we can use it to pray longer prayers. Like the guy who said, I just couldn't pray for an hour. And I know many people would say, I would love to be able to pray for an hour, but I just can't do it. But listen, could you see how you could do it if you took these six requests of the Lord's of the model prayer and broke it up into those six categories? If you spent 10 minutes on each one of those sections, you would be praying for an hour. And it's not difficult to do that. Take, for example, the category of praise that I mentioned a few minutes ago. Say you took a minute to read a psalm, and then you sung a praise hymn and a praise chorus to the Lord, and they were 3 or 4 minutes each. Then you spent several minutes just giving God thanks for the things that you were grateful for that day. You would be well over 10 minutes in your prayer only praying praise, only in that first category. And then you go on to pray for your pastors and staff and church and God's will and all of these other things. It's not difficult to pray much longer prayers if we'll pray about the things that Jesus commanded us to pray about in this prayer. But listen, it's not only about how long we pray. It's about not only praying longer prayers, but praying better prayers. Praying about the things that the Lord would have us to pray about. You know, too many of us just say, God, thank you for today, and here's all the things that I need. And Jesus is saying, listen, here's a better way to pray. Pray about these things that I've told you that your Heavenly Father wants to visit with you about when you pray. Pray about God's will. Pray about His kingdom. Pray about the spiritual protection that you and your families need. We need to pray the way that Jesus taught us to pray. I remember a number of years ago, I was familiar with the little acronym of prayer, ACTS. Many of you have perhaps heard and use that: adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. It's a good way to pray. I grew up praying praise, thanksgiving, confession, intercession, and petition. There's a number of good models to use in prayer. But I was studying through the Sermon on the Mount a number of years ago and studied this model prayer and looking at the detail and the intricacy and all the blessings of this model prayer, I thought, why would we use some other model when Jesus gave us this perfect model prayer? Why would we pray some other way when He's given us this one? So it not only will help us to pray longer, but will help us to pray better prayers if we follow Jesus' model. And let me say this too. It's a prayer that we are to pray in the morning. When we pray in that morning block of time prayer that we have with the Lord, and when we want to spend 20 minutes or 30 minutes or an hour to begin our day in prayer, we're to use this kind of an outline when we pray. But there are other prayers that we'll pray. You're in your car and an ambulance is going by. You don't have to stop and say, okay, what's the outline of the model prayer? I need to begin with praise. I need to pray. No, you can just whisper a prayer. And in fact, that's what we're going to be looking at next Sunday morning: the discipline of spontaneous prayer, the discipline of continual prayer. Remembering above all, and even at looking at this model prayer together, don't become too mechanical about it. Jesus has given us this perfect model, but don't, listen, you can even use it as a mechanical repetition if you will. Don't forget above all that prayer is a relationship with God. It's an expression of the relationship you have with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads together. In just a second, Jim's going to lead us in a song of invitation. And as he does, a number of us need to be visiting with the Lord about our walk with Him. Some of us would say, you know, I'm a Christian. I've given my life to Jesus as my Savior, but I've never really been consistent in a daily walk with Him in prayer. God's convicting you about exercising this discipline of discipleship and getting up every day, spending time with God and in prayer and in His Word. Maybe you'd say, I made a commitment a week or two ago to do that, but I've fallen short. And some of us would just say, Lord, forgive me for that. Help me to recommit myself today to walking with You every day in prayer and in Your Word. Or you'd say, I've been praying, but I've not really been talking about these things that the Lord said I want you to visit with my Heavenly Father about when you pray. Some of you may want to take this outline home with you, and you can write some names or write some verses or write some situations in it and use that as an outline to help you pray about the things that God wants you to visit with Him about every day when you pray. Or maybe there's somebody on your heart this morning, you'd say, I need to really lift somebody, a specific situation up to the Lord. The front of the church is going to be open here in just a moment as an altar for prayer. And you want to come and kneel and pray, you can pray and seek the Lord. If you want somebody to pray with you, someone will come and help you lift up your prayer request to the Lord. Or maybe you'd say, you know, prayer is supposed to be an expression of my relationship with God. But if you're honest, you'd say, I've never really given my life to Jesus as my Savior. And some of us would have to admit the reason you don't pray is because you don't really have a relationship with God. The Bible says God designed us to know Him, to have a relationship with Him. But we separated ourselves from God by our sin. Isaiah says your iniquity has caused a separation between you and your God. That's why God sent Jesus, to die on the cross, to pay for our sins, so that we could be reconciled with God, if we'd be willing to repent of our sins and trust Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And some of you might say this morning, I've never really done that. You may have grown up in the church. You may have been baptized. You may have signed a card. You may have walked to the front or done some other religious things, but you've never really repented of your sins and followed Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior of your life. And this morning, God's calling you to do that. In your heart, call out to Him. Say, God, forgive my sins. Come into my life. Help me to follow You from this day forward. And if you're really doing that and really meaning it, I'm going to encourage you to step forward in just a moment and say, Pastor, today I'm following Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Walking to the front's not going to save you. Taking my hands sure not going to save you. But Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father who's in heaven. Publicly commit. Say, Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior from this day forward. Or maybe you've done that, but you've never been scripturally baptized and followed Him and let the world know through baptism that you become a follower of Jesus Christ. Or if you'd say, you know, I need a church home, me and my family need a church home. If you've been saved, you've been scripturally baptized, perhaps your letter's at another Southern Baptist church somewhere, you can come and join by transfer of letter or by your profession of faith and your baptism in Christ. We'd love to have you come and join our church. Lots of different ways you can respond today. You need to respond as God's spoken to your heart today. We're going to stand together. Jim's going to lead us in this song of invitation, especially if you need to make a public commitment to Jesus as your Lord and Savior today. Let's do that as we stand together and Jim leads us in this song of invitation.
Thank you for tuning in with us today. If you have any questions about today's message or would like to talk with any of our staff, please call the church at 828-584-0310. It's our hope here at Pleasant Ridge that you become changed through the living Word of Jesus Christ.